It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you, coast to coast, on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Man, what a Tuesday we've had. What a Tuesday afternoon. What a Tuesday evening that we've had. Live right here on the air on the Infinity Sports Network. Russell Wilson going to the New York Giants, a one-year deal, $10 million. He joins Jameis Winston, Tommy DeVito, and the New York Giants quarterback room. And the New York Giants selecting at number three in the draft, they may not be finished. Maybe they bring on Shedeur Sanders. Also, a little bit further north of New York City, let's go to Boston, where they add a number one wide receiver. Yeah, he's coming off of an ACL tear, but the New England Patriots have signed Stephon Diggs. A three-year contract, $69 million. For an offense that was ranked 30th last year, yeah, I think even having Stephon Diggs coming off of a bum ACL is better than some of the subpar talent they had last year for Drake May to throw the football to. And then Jimmy Butler, minutes ago, made his return to Miami. If there are no fans in attendance at the beginning of the game to recognize Jimmy Butler, is it really a return? Right now, this minute, this second, Miami leads Golden State 21-19. There is no Steph Curry, still recovering from his back issue. We have so much more to get into. Yeah, we got basketball and football and college basketball as well. Here in Atlanta, where Steph Curry didn't play on Saturday because of his back, this upcoming week, we got some college football that'll take place here. We got Michigan State and Ole Miss, and then we got another Michigan team, the Wolverines. They will be in action against Auburn. You know what? In about 20 minutes from now, we're going to have a conversation with someone who balled out for the Michigan Wolverines. Man, he balled out for the state of Michigan, was Mr. Basketball, and then won a championship with the Wolverines, and then played for the Pistons, and now he's a broadcaster for the Wolverines and their radio network. Terry Mills is going to join us. He'll be here in about 20 minutes to talk all things Michigan basketball. It's like Dusty May shows up and all of a sudden he brings giant seven-footers and now the world has changed. Let's see how far Michigan can go here in the tournament for a team that was an afterthought in that Juwan Howard era. Man, that was... It really stinks when you're known more so for... Am I wrong? Hickey, is the most famous thing that took place with Juwan Howard, it was slapping up the other coaches?
Oh, easily. Easily. I think he made was it an Elite Eight? He got pretty deep one year, maybe Sweet 16, but nothing compares to that.
Was it an open hand slap? It was open handed, right?
Then
he went to grab the guy because, of course, Juwan Howard is like 6'8", 6'10". He went to grab the guy and he slapped him.
And I think too, to your point, it was also a downward slap, which feels even more disrespectful.
I mean, when you're that tall, unless you're slapping Chris Webber, like, if he wanted to slap me or you, it would have to be a downward slap, right?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you're right. But to be, I think it was Greg Gard of Wisconsin, to be in that position where he's coming after you, and not only is he trying to slap you, but coming downwards on the slap.
Oh, boy.
Not many more humiliating things.
What's being slapped up? But is it a backhand? Is it a backhand slap worse or an open hand slap down? You don't see too many backhand slaps. You don't see that at all, really, anymore, ever.
Yeah, I still would say the backhand is worse.
Yeah,
to your point, that's you got to do something really bad for someone to even think about doing that.
A backhand. Oh man, that's passe. Somebody needs to bring that. I'm not even saying in like a violent fashion, but in a comical fashion, like you're challenging somebody to a duel. I need a good backhand slap. You don't see it anymore.
Should we get Chris Rock on the revenge tour? Backhand slap Will Smith.
Oh my God. Oh, man, wow.
Part two. That'll drive some ratings up, as you know, you always see with those award shows ratings.
Will Smith hit him with an open hand, right? Will
open
Smith
hand. Gave,
open hand slap, right, right.
But there was a full windup there. He, like, went, you know, cocked his way back,
yeah.
Opened up the obliques, and really let that thing wail.
And I think Will Smith is, he's got to be, what, 3-4 inches taller than Chris Rock? Maybe more than that? I don't know.
Something like that. Not towering, but.
Yeah, Will Smith is a tall dude, but. And we know Chris Rock is a slight fellow. I mean, if they were in weight classes, Will Smith would have him by quite a few. Yeah. Well, he made money off of that, didn't he? And like 2 years later, he went on his comedy tour, like you said. So,
I guess he makes light of it, which is good.
Did he? Didn't he say he regrets not hitting him back or something? Or, I don't know.
Well, that's a fair regret to have.
I gotta go back and watch. I like Chris Rock, but I don't remember that one. Anyway, as long as he made some money, good for him. And what's Will Smith do? Does he have a movie out? I don't know.
Well, I know he's not with his wife anymore. So.
Are you sure about that?
Why, did they get back together?
I thought that they were really never together in the first place.
Well, that, you know, I think you're right. Which I think makes a slap worse.
Oh, he's defending a woman who's not even his.
Right. What are you doing? Does that make you look weak?
What do they call? What do you call that?
A cuck.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
He does all the dirty work, protects her, keeps her safe, and she goes and is seeing someone else.
Yeah, she goes, hangs out with a younger guy. Young guy, 20 years younger. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. No, not specifically Will Smith. Not what you call Will Smith. The relationship. Like, what do you, is it a throuple? Is that where that word came from?
That's what you were talking about.
Right, right. Not Will Smith. I would not refer to him as what you called him.
I mean,
a thruple, right?
I guess.
Oh, here we go. Here's something. This doesn't sound good at all. June, and this is in 2019. This is pre-pandemic. Wow. Whoa. This is terrible. In 2019, Jada Pinkett Smith says she's been in a non-sexual thruple with Will Smith's ex-wife for years. What the heck?
Wait, what?
Well, I don't know, Iggy. And when she walked down the aisle, Jada Pinkett signed off for a life with more than just Will Smith. That's because the star husband already shared a young son with his ex-wife. Okay, fine. Unconventional relationships prominently featured the term thruple, which is defined on the episode as three people having a consensual romance. Okay. All right. Wait. She says she's had a non-sexual thruple for years with the ex-wife.
So that mean they're friends?
I don't know. When you have your husband that's taking care of another woman and spending time with another woman, it's the same thing. I don't get it. I'm going to close this up. Okay. All right. Not in my tax bracket, I don't think. Okay. You got to have Independence Day money to be out here doing those things. Or maybe not. I got a story for you, Hickey, off the air. Nothing to do with me, thank God. Yeah, good for Will Smith. Or maybe not. Anyway. Hickey, he played a coach in a movie once. Remember that? Serena Venus?
Oh, yes.
And trying to make a transition here. I'm like, okay. I'm like, Will Smith, so where was he, a coach somewhere? Anyway, yeah, he played Robert? Is it Robert?
Never seen the movie, so I don't know.
Serena and Venus, he's famous. He's a little older now. What's the dad's name?
Great movie, though, from what I've heard.
Richard Williams. I called him Robert. Close enough, an R. Anyway, Will Smith was a great coach in that movie. There's a lot of upset coaches right now in college basketball. There's a lot of upset fans in college basketball right now. And this is going to be one of the questions that I pose to our guest, Terry Mills, when he joins us in about another 10 minutes or so. Outside of all the questions about the Michigan Wolverines, I'm going to have to ask him about the transfer portal, because the numbers right now are absolutely insane. I feel like the vast majority of students are eligible for the portal and will be moving on to a different team. Like, we live in a whole new world. So the transfer portal opened up on Monday. Keep in mind, the NCAA tournament is still going on. More than 750 athletes, 750, have entered into the transfer portal. And then when you count teams that have changed coaches, where those players are now eligible to leave, when you think about the young men who have graduated from school, grad transfers, it's more than 1,000 students in the transfer portal right now. I don't even know if I should call them students. If I should probably call them athletes first. The portal is open for approximately 30 days. And when you got just players bouncing around, come on, Derek Queen said it himself coming out of Maryland. Hey, why do you listen to your coach? Because he pays me. Yeah, that's a good answer. And oh, yeah, by the way, on a separate note, he was on Pat McAfee. I want you to hear this. He said that he did not travel so everybody could just shut up and relax.
How come they said you traveled on that?
I don't know. Like, I just don't, like, understand how they travel. I just took regular two steps.
Yeah, one, two, jump. That was my interpretation. People go one, two, three, jump. All right, and it's up for interpretation. Bottom line is they're advancing. They're moving on. Now, there's a lot of teams that aren't playing anymore. And not only are they not playing, they're trying to figure out their future. How about this? The head coach of Norfolk State, Robert Jones. I think he had an accurate description of all the players who are now eligible to move on, eligible to jump into the transfer portal, eligible to just chase the check. Robert Jones says, how are we at Norfolk State going to be able to compete with the Power Five? We're mid-majors here. How are we going to compete with the Blue Bloods? He's like, we can't. We're nothing but a feeder system. Listen to this.
This is now a glorified JUCO. You know, this is like Norfolk State Community College, because it's like when I say that, not because of the people or things like that, but it's just the way it is. JUCO coaches, I have so much more respect for them these days, because they have to get a new team every year or every 2 years or something like that, right? You know, now we got to get a new team every year, every 2 years. So we basically a glorified JUCO, because these kids, you know, until mid majors, and not just Norfolk State, until mid majors get the money that high majors have, we're never going to be able to keep kids here, you know, for a long time. I say it's easy to get them. It's hard to retain them. You know, you can get them because there's a lot of kids that want opportunities. A lot of kids want opportunities. But once they get the opportunity and then they blow up, it's harder to retain them because now the big boys are going to come.
And they won't. They won't ever get the money. A Norfolk State will never get the cash of a Texas, of a Duke, of a Michigan State. It never will. Let's also be honest. I mean, you may have been able to keep the team together, but if you want to talk about competition, you never were. Yeah, you could pop up and show up, and that still might be the case, but people are chasing the check. Look, college sports and athletics is nothing but a game of the haves and the have-nots. Always has been. It's just the pieces have been moved around a little bit. The players have the ability to move. And yes, it sucks. It absolutely does. I think from a fan's perspective, outside of everybody in their 2 second attention span and compulsive gamblers and trying to get their money and who's going to hit and who's going to go on a run, outside of all of that, I think it's bad. I think it stinks to not have continuity in sports. I want the athletes to make money, but I also want them to honor their commitments. I also want the schools to be fair to them. Like, it sucks to root for a product, and yeah, you root for the team, but why does the team have to change year after year after year after year after year? Can we not have some type of continuity? At least I know when I turn on a professional game, yeah, the big stars move around, but not here to the frequency now that we have the transfer portal of what it allows. It's doing too much. It's crazy. But this is what happens when you don't pay the athletes. Government basically forces you to allow them to make money. And you basically throw up your hands without any guardrails and say, oh, just a stampede. Go for it. We've seen so many college coaches, with good reason, I believe, decide to exit. Coach K, gone. I'm not dealing with this NIL crap. Jim Boeheim, man, I'm not doing this. I'm not yelling at the students either. Roy Williams is gone. Jim Larranega just quit at the end of the season, in the middle of the season. Come on now. Jay Wright said, I don't care. I don't need to win another title. I'm not dealing with this crap. And we got other coaches who are still sticking around. How about this? Tom Izzo, I told you, he'll be here in Atlanta on Friday. He's getting ready to take on Ole Miss. This man has been in what now? 27 consecutive tournaments? Tom Izzo's like, I need another title. It's been 25 years. In a hilarious way. Tom Izzo spoke to the media. He says, I don't care about the transfer portal.
When I came back Sunday night, that was it. There was nothing on my mind but giving these guys a chance to win one more game, get to Elite Eight, and one more game, and have a memory that'll last their entire life, their kid's life, and their grandkid's life. Because that's what it is. And so excuse me for being passionate about it or pissed off about it, whichever words you want to use, but I'm not going to talk about it because it's not fair. It's not fair to the people.
It's fair for them to make money, but they should have some type of, everybody should have some type of constraints, just a little bit, so we don't get the wild, wild west. I don't think people gambling and throwing money up care. There's a lot of people who don't. But I think if you want to have continuity and continue brand building, and instead of just shooting off at the hip and everybody moves around, this is like, it's like rooting for a team on a Saturday afternoon at the park. If every 5 minutes the teams are changing, it's not fun unless you're playing. It sucks for everybody else watching. It's bad. I don't like it. I really don't. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. You know, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I told you, we are going to have a chat with someone who's very familiar with March Madness, very familiar with the tournament. It's time to have a conversation with Terry Mills, who won a championship with Michigan and is also, right now, their broadcast, or excuse me, he's their broadcaster on radio. We'll have that conversation. I'll ask him all things Wolverines, and then I'm going to ask him about this transfer portal. Terry Mills joins us on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We are down to the Sweet 16. One big matchup that I'm waiting for right here in Atlanta, Georgia, is going to take place on Friday. We got Auburn, a hot pick. And we got Michigan, a surprising pick. Well, right now we got someone, we might as well call him Mr. Michigan here with us on the line. This guy won Mr. Basketball in 86. He won a national championship with the Wolverines in 89. He played in the NBA for more than a decade, knocking down those threes. And now you can catch him on all of Michigan's radio broadcasts. It's my main man, Terry Mills. Terry, how are you?
Man, I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on, man. Thanks for being patient, man. I know we're trying to get this figured out, but we off and rolling.
Hey, technology is good when it works and when it rolls, so I appreciate you being here with all of us. Let me ask you this. You've been around and have seen a lot of Michigan basketball over the years. Dusty May comes in 1 year, takes this team from 24 losses, has some giant seven-footers, and now they're staring at an Elite Eight. What did he do?
Man, I tell you what, when he came in, I was at the press conference, and he just said right away, I want to win right now. I didn't know what that was going to look like because I think once, you know, Juwan was gone, all the players that pretty much we had kind of scattered. They went in different directions. I don't even think that any of them, well, Namari did and Will Cheddar, they stuck around and listened to, you know, what he had to say. But the other ones had their mind made up. They were gone. And I didn't know what it was going to actually look like. But I tell you what, it all worked out. Players believed in him. I think Danny Wolf, his question was, would he be able to play with Vlad? And Dusty said, Vlad can play with anybody. You know, Vlad can play with anybody. So just to see that and then see that 4 or 5 pick and roll start to work, man, I tell you what, it's been exciting to call these games.
Well, Terry, you played in the NBA. You've obviously you cover right now Michigan basketball. It's a unique setup right now when you have these 2 7-footers, especially in basketball. A lot of people have moved towards the three. What do you think about that setup that he has right now between Wolf and Golden?
Well, you know what? I love that set. You know, what happened was when you go through the Big Ten season, people start to figure it out or what's going on, which makes it a little bit more difficult. Now you're trying to disguise it, run it in different ways. But I tell you what, I love the fact that we're playing other teams that's not used to it, and maybe they can't figure it out right away. And that's been special for us, you know, to see us run that against Texas A&M toward the end of the game and just get that figured out, man. I tell you what, it's special.
Well, Terry, we saw Gale come up and have a big game. He's had his ups and downs throughout the season. There's always so much attention paid to the big guys. What about the quote-unquote smaller guys? What about the guards?
Well, that's been the whole case. You know, when Dusty first got here, he said, you know what's going to happen? He said, the big guys are going to get all the credit if we win. And he said, if we lose, they're going to probably blame me. So just to, for those guys to – work behind the scenes and you know, take, I guess, backseat, if that's what you want to call it. But, you know, we're a team that not necessarily worried about who's getting up these shots or this team getting these shots. It's all about who's got the hot hand, who can expose their man, and that's what we're going with. And Roddy Gale, man, you talk about him coming to life, man. He's had his struggles, his ups and downs. But one thing I can say about that young man and this team is that they believed in him. Regardless of all the outside noise, they believed in him. I believed in him. And if you believe in Dusty May and he tells you this is what this guy is, you better believe that's what who he's going to be. When he came in, he was like, Reuben Jones is a special player. He's a defensive player. He said he was a thorn in my side when I was at FAU. And I'm starting to see that now. I mean, he is about as pesky as anybody from a defensive standpoint. So Roddy Gale, like I told him, he calls himself, well, he don't call himself, I guess they called him double agent. And I'm kind of like, hey, Roddy, hey, let's live off of that. If that's what we did, win the NIL. Let's make some shirts and call it double agent. And as long as you're putting up these numbers, they should sell pretty good.
Hey, we got a Michigan basketball legend joining us, Terry Mills, also a champion 89 with the Wolverines. Calls the games on the radio right now for Michigan. What should we expect this Friday here in Atlanta? We got people listening all over the country. What can we expect here in Atlanta as they get ready to take on Auburn?
Well, I think you can expect that Michigan's going to come to play. I've seen the line and I read a lot of things. But look, we haven't been favored since we lost our last three games in a row. We weren't favored to win a Big Ten Conference. Just kind of the way we kind of wilted coming down the stretch. We were right in there to 10 for the Big Ten regular season. It didn't work out. Guys believed in one another. Hey, we're going to come to compete. And, you know, you kind of listen to different people, whether it be fan bases or whatever. They can almost consider in this season right now to be a success. I don't know if it's Sweet 16, all of a sudden you're successful or whatever it is. This team is hungry. They can see the finish line right now. And we're not satisfied. They're not coming in here saying, okay, we're Sweet 16, take it or leave it, or we're playing with house money. No, we're coming to win that ball game, and I think they're going to be in the fight.
Well, Terry, you talk about people not paying attention. I mean, the fifth seed, like, what was that about?
Yeah, well, they kind of – maybe that gave them an edge. Maybe they felt like they was disrespected or whatever it is, but – for whatever reason, we didn't complain about it. We got on that plane, left Indiana, went to Denver in the altitude. That first game against UC San Diego, we really didn't match up with them and kind of almost felt like it was a setup game, to be honest with you, because I think they were the better team as far as forcing turnovers, and we were that team that was having problems giving turnovers. So it's kind of more or less a setup. They played with, you know, taller, shorter guys. We got taller guys. So it was really a bad matchup, but it worked out in our favor. We took care of it. I like the way the team responded. You're talking about two different scouts. You're talking about a team that's shooting threes, and then all of a sudden you got to worry about a team that's crashing the boards here. And I thought Michigan really locked in on that. Coach said right before they got ready to go out on the scout, if you want to give yourself a chance, we got to be able to rebound with them, and we got to take care of the basketball. And I've heard that speech before all season with Coach, you know, whether we played Michigan State, Illinois, Maryland, those type of teams that hit that glass like that. And we weren't responding. I mean, those teams were actually getting 15, 20 offensive rebounds. I don't know what changed, but the message has got there at the right time. Then now all of a sudden we play Texas A&M and we're plus 9 on them. So that lets me know that we can do it, and only 9 turnovers. So it's in there and we can do it. And whatever our game plan is, stick to that game plan, trust it. Talking about Auburn, a team that definitely hits the glass. They're gonna get after it. And we're going to be in the fight because we know we can do it now and know what it's going to take. We're not going to be out here trying to turn the ball over. And, hey, give ourselves a fighting chance.
Michigan basketball legend Terry Mills is here with us. You got some big words for the team as well. You should. Given what you've seen so far, would you be surprised if they won a national championship?
I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, we have the makeup. And when we're together and we're locked in, I see us playing just as well as anybody. You know, when we get down earlier in the season, you can see shoulders drop, head drop. I don't see that now. You know, I told my broadcast partner, Brian Bush, we went to timeout and we were down 10. I said, hang on, because we're finna win this game. And he was like, what, you think so? I said, yeah, we're finna win this ball game. And he said, why you think that? I said, well, we're sitting on the floor. I can look in them guys' eyes. And them guys' eyes saying, we finna come back. They ain't saying, oh, here we go again. So getting down, hey, you better look out because this team is going to be ready. They're going to fight to the end. So whether down 10 or whatever it may be, they're coming.
Well, Terry, let me ask you this. You won a national championship in 89. Glenn Rice knocking down all the shots, making shooting look easy. You made shooting look easy as a big man throughout the course of your career. What's your favorite memory? What stands out to you about that 89 run?
Just to run the way we went about it. You know, kind of similar things went on, I guess, with this team in a certain way. We lost to Illinois on senior night, which was parent night. We basically got handled by Illinois, and they handled us twice that year. So kind of, and then you look back at this team on parent night against Maryland. Maryland handles us at home. So it's kind of similarities in that part. We were considered to be in 89, I think we were, 24-7 or something like that, and we were considered to be underachievers. You know, I don't know what the guidelines is these days. I thought if you win 20 games, that's a successful season, but obviously not for us. But the way we came together, you know, you lose your coach, and, you know, you got to figure it out. You know, and we all came together and say, hey, we're going to prove them wrong. We're going to prove everybody wrong. We're going to take our sacrifices that we have to take, and we're going to get it done. And it was just a magical run. And for me to be on the other side of it right now and watch these guys make that run, I want to know what are video cameras and stuff. We didn't have all that type of stuff. I'm like, where's the camcorders at, guys? These are moments you're supposed to be taking pictures and enjoying it. And for them to, you know, run over to our fan base after we won that game against Texas A&M, I just wish they could have just ran on up in the stands, man. Just go enjoy this, man. Because I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying calling the game. But they don't realize the impact that they'll have later on in life. It'll be 10, 20 years down the line because us winning a national championship, it still rings right now. And people walk up to me every single day, tell me where they've been, thank you for winning that championship. And I said, after we won that conference championship this year, I said, you know what? Championships bring brotherhood. Y'all got a brotherhood right now. So y'all going to be able to come back 10 years from now and say, guess what we did? We won that championship. Remember when we made that run 3 games in a row? Then they flew us out to Denver in the altitude, and we had to deal with that. Now we're in the Sweet 16. Hey, they're going to have a story to tell when it's all said and done.
All things Michigan basketball legend Terry Mills is here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. As we start to wrap things up, you talk about the future. We've seen so many changes in college basketball from when you played to what we see now in NIL and transfer portal. What do you think this game is going to look like in a few years from now? It's the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, it's the Wild Wild West. I'm trying to figure it out myself, even with the transfer portal part of it. I kind of wish that portal wouldn't have came out until after the final game is over with. because you actually see teams losing players that's still in the tournament. You know, like we just lost Justin Pippen, and it was like, it's not bad timing on his part. He has to do what he has to do, but it's bad timing, the fact that we're in there and the NCAA is allowing that to happen. So it could be a distraction. It could not be a distraction. But I think this team is just focused on what they have to do. We've had some injuries, and it's kind of that next man up mentality. But I don't know what this team is going to look like next year or what different teams going to be like in the future, because it's got unlimited situations going on right now. It's like I'm just trying to figure it out, and I'm watching that portal go up like the stock market, man. I'm watching it, man. It was 200 yesterday. It's 500 today. You know, I don't know what the number is today, but it was 500 yesterday. But, man, it's something else, man. But, you know, you wish these kids the best, but you just never know, man. They don't never tell a story on the other side of it. You know, you might have 1,200 kids jump out there, think they're going to get paid, get some money. All of a sudden, you backed out of that scholarship. They don't never say that all of them didn't get another scholarship. You know, now they're all trying to figure it out because they jumped out there in the portal and it didn't happen for you. You don't hear the bad part of it. You just hear the good part of it. And trust me, everybody's not going to get paid. 1,200 players to get in the portal like last year, I guarantee 1,200 of them didn't get paid.
Hey, Terry, man, one thing you got paid at doing by the time you got to the league, you were knocking down them shots. Big man knocking down them threes. We saw you and Big Smooth. You got to tell me, who was the best big man shooter that you have seen with your own eyes?
I would probably have to go with Luka right now. I think Luka really strokes it right now. But, you know, I always say I grew up in a bad time. You know, the way these guys are getting paid right now. And there are people that remind me that all the time. Every time I walk around, like, man, you're just born at the wrong time. You're born at the wrong time. So, you know, I love watching the game, man. I love seeing people develop. And the NBA game is going to a whole different level. It's different. I'm a college basketball guy right now because I like the strategies and things that go on with that. But the NBA, it's like everybody right now, they can just shoot three. Whether you can't shoot it or not, it's like, go ahead and throw it on up there.
We'll see. Let's see if it – I think it has slowed down. I think a couple of folk realize they are not Steph Curry. So we'll see.
Right. He's the one that set the tone for it. And he's got everybody thinking you can shoot from half court. But he's an amazing player.
Yeah, everybody ain't him and everybody ain't you. And that was great, Terry. Right. How about that? I appreciate the time. Tell everybody where they can watch you, listen, keep up with you, all that good stuff, Terry.
Yeah, we're on 9:50 a.m. right here locally. I don't know what our channel is on Sirius, but we're on 9:50 a.m. And WWJ, that's us, man. And I can't wait to get that call, man. We're leaving out tomorrow. We'll be in Hot Atlanta. We'll enjoy it. But, hey, this is a business trip. You know, I always say that. Don't worry about the weather. It's going to be 70. Maybe we can put our shorts on. But, hey, the ultimate goal is this is a business trip. We're not going fishing and all of that type of stuff. We're not going to the water park. We're coming there on business.
Hey, Terry, you know there's a lot of other things here in Atlanta, too. So
yeah, I do know that.
It's a business trip.
It's a business trip. You got it.
All right. Thank you so much to Terry Mills.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Hey, thank you so much to Terry Mills for joining us in the last break to really go through everything Michigan Wolverines basketball. The team is going to be busy. I guess they're old enough to get into Magic City, I guess. Hickey, are they old enough? Right? I don't know. I don't know anymore. I haven't had the, well, I show my ID, but I can't remember. I don't know.
I think
18. Right? No, right? 18?
I don't think so.
Because you got to be able to drink, right?
Right.
Yeah, 21.
Right. But
Auburn can get in. All of their guys are like 25 years old.
Did you see their average age versus the Thunder's average age?
Yeah, older than the Oklahoma City Thunder, yes. What is
it? They got some old men.
What is it? Is it 25 to 23? What is it?
It's the Thunder 24, Auburn's 23. They're like 9 months away or something like that between a college team and an NBA team. That's the difference in average age, 9 months.
Well, here we go. Here's your transfer portal for you, right, I guess?
That's also true. Guys are saying 4, 5, dare we say 6 years, never graduate.
Well, I mean, Jannai Broome, he's been around, what is this, his fifth year technically, right?
He's like 20, yeah, he's, yeah. Two at his former school, 3 at Auburn now. He's been there for a while.
Man.
He can get into Magic City, no problem.
Yeah, they probably know him in there. Maybe,
probably even need his ID at that point.
Yeah, Auburn isn't that far away.
You walk right in.
And not far from me, not far from here in Atlanta. Yeah, I'm waiting for the city to be buzzing. I'll be sitting my ass right here in the studio, so I won't see the action. But I've already seen a couple of people just in the city. There's a guy walking around on the way into the studio today. He had a Gators sweatshirt on. It was kind of hot outside. I'm like, why you got a sweatshirt on, man? But had a Gators sweatshirt on, had a Gators hat on. And so it's going to be, what's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Wednesday. Yeah, I guess by the time we get to tomorrow, the city's going to, I don't want to call it be overrun, but we'll see more of a college basketball presence here in Atlanta, Georgia. So looking forward to that. And then thank you to Terry Mills again. A pleasure having a chat with him. And then we just heard word after we spoke with Terry. We heard this in a news flash from Rich Ackerman. And I just had to go, really? What? Again? Another guy? Damian Lillard. This sounds weird to say. Damian Lillard is the latest athlete, the latest NBA star, to be diagnosed with a deep vein thrombosis. Excuse me, thrombosis. You can tell I don't say that word every day. It's a blood clot, okay? The guy has a blood clot in his right calf. He is out indefinitely. Damian Lillard is on blood thinning medication. It stabilized the blood clot. It'll continue with regular testing. He is out indefinitely. Yeah. Not that, when he got hurt or suffered the blood clot is important. The fact that he has one is absolutely terrible. But it's terrible timing in regards to recovery as the NBA season winds down. And the Milwaukee Bucks are one of the teams that are out here trying to compete for a championship. As it stands right now, you could say that Damian Lillard and the Bucks and being paired up with Giannis hasn't worked out the way they thought it would. It was obviously the injuries last year and how they fit together and who takes a back seat and who goes forward and whatnot. The Milwaukee Bucks this year are 40-31. They're only a half game in front of the Detroit Pistons. Now, with no Damian Lillard, they may fall even further. And I get it. You got to get the ball to one guy and tell him to go out there and go to work. That's Giannis Antetokounmpo. But these Milwaukee Bucks, they were already looked at like, how the hell are y'all going to keep up with the Boston Celtics? How's anybody going to keep up with the Boston Celtics? We saw Jason Tatum go down with that ankle sprain last night when Sabonis stuck out that foot and he fell on it. Ooh, this is just bad. Damian Lillard suffering a blood clot in his leg. We saw Victor Wembanyama miss the rest of this season with a blood clot. I can't recall two stars. Not anybody. I guess you got to play to get it. I don't know. I've never heard of such a thing. Like, we have a lot of peculiar things that take place in the NBA, but to have Victor Wembanyama miss the rest of the season with a blood clot and now have Damian Lillard go down with it as well, what am I missing? Is this just a coincidence? Are these guys throughout the course of the year, is there some new medication or medicine that they're taking? Like, I don't know. Hickey, I've never heard of this ever. Like, the last guy I heard having a blood clot was Chris Bosh, and it cost him his career.
Right, and you see now also the body types, right? At least with Chris Bosh, very tall man. Victor Wembanyama, right? Very tall, abnormally big body. Okay, like, maybe you can make it make sense in that realm, but you look at Damian Lillard, who's a pretty normal-sized dude. Like, I don't know. It was part of overtraining, like you said, it's part of the recovery. I
don't know.
Don't know, but like I said, it's not good that this is now starting to become more, more common.
Yeah, Damian Lillard is a normal-ass size. He's a big guy. He's 6'2". But nobody's going to look at Damian Lillard and go, hey, look at that tall-ass freak over there, you know? It's Victor Wembanyama. What? Wembanyama's 7'4". Giannis is, what, 6'11". These guys are weird. Lillard is a normal guy. I don't know, man. I always thought that if you run up and down a basketball court and you're getting cardio, your blood is moving, yeah, I thought you were going to be good. I didn't think that you'd be clotting. I don't know. Maybe it's the travel that they have to do. Maybe it's the rest, the training, I don't know. I thought if I was doing cardio every other night for an hour and in the daytime when they practice, halfway practice, I thought that these guys would be in tip-top condition. This is crazy. They're not couch potatoes getting blood clots. These are well-prime-conditioned athletes. And good luck to Damian Lillard. Good luck to Wembanyama. To blood clots? It's the JR Sportbrief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We've had a lot that's going on this evening. Russell Wilson, new team. Diggs, new team. We'll talk about it all. Don't move.